Hey everybody, I hope you're ready for a literary agent interview. I have the lovely Marlo Berliner on the podcast today, and she is a literary agent at the Jennifer D. Chiara Literary Agency. I think I said that right. I practiced that one for a little bit, so I apologize if I got it wrong. You know me and pronouncing things, not always so good. But Marlo gives us some really amazing advice and shares just some really great, really great. Like, my notes from this interview are so long because she really gives us a lot of good information on queries and the process and publishing as a whole. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy this interview. Let's go ahead and hear from Marlo. Marlo, could you tell us what drew you to publishing and being a literary agent?
Well, I was originally an accounting manager for a Fortune 500 company, but I've been involved in publishing now for over 12 years. I began as a writer, then I was the chair of a major publishing conference, then I was an award-winning author, a freelance editor, and finally a children's lead bookseller for Barnes & Noble.
Wow.
Yeah, so I kind of wore all the hats at one point or another. As a freelance editor, I'd always enjoyed helping other writers develop their stories. And after a while, I realized I was able to recognize which stories in my inbox had much more potential than others. So when I saw an opportunity to intern at the Bent Agency, I jumped at it. I learned a great deal from that first year-long internship with Molly Kerhon, and then even more from a second internship with Colleen Ofelin at the Jennifer D. Chiara Agency, where I am now.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot from those two amazing agents, and that's kind of how I got my start.
I love it, and I feel like you really did wear all the hats. You tried, you know, and did a lot of different avenues of the publishing industry, even after starting as, you know, being in accounting for a Fortune 500 company, which is a little different. I love that you're on this side of it, and I thought it was, you know, great when I was doing some research on you that you, you know, I feel like you have an ability to understand both sides really well, the writer side and, of course, the agent, because you've published and, you know, written on your written books. So that's something that I feel like makes you a good asset for your clients.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about when your love of books began.
Well, like most everyone in publishing, I think my love of books began as soon as I could read. I was reading full chapter books by kindergarten, and then by the time I went to high school, I went to a college preparatory called the Hunt School of Princeton, and they really made us dive into the classics. We had long reading lists we had to tackle all year round, and I loved it. I would not only read all of those books, but also tons of other titles by everyone from, oh my goodness, Stephen King to Nora Roberts to Anne Rice. I mean, you name it, I read everything I could pretty much get my hands on, even nonfiction as well.
That's awesome. I think that is a very common story of people in the publishing world. They've always been a reader and loved books forever, and I just love to, you know, hear the different ways that people get into it. And to read chapter books by kindergarten, that's intense reading.
Yeah, they moved me up two grades. I went to a Catholic school for grade school, you know, K-8, and they moved me up two grades.
Wow.
I was reading just too fast, and I was too fast in math and everything. So yeah.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. So the next few questions I have for you are query related, which I think a lot of the people who listen to these episodes are, you know, this is where they start taking notes and really, right, you know, listening. So all these questions, of course, you know, your answers, I think, will be subjective to your experience, but that is why these interviews are so great, to just get a broad spectrum of answers. So my first one about queries is, do you think queries need to stick to the specified formula? And that isn't, you know, your agency's submission guidelines. What I'm more asking is that, you know, tried and true, I think, formula that people tell you, just the who, the what, the stakes, and, you know, an introduction of yourself without it being really gimmicky.
Well, I would agree. I really do like the specified formula. For me, a successful query always begins with, and you'd be surprised. I say this because a lot of queries sometimes leave out the obvious. So I'm going to actually state the obvious.
Do it.
A successful query begins with the title, the age group and genre, the word count. So I know what I'm supposed to be considering. If you leave out the genre, for instance, or even the word count, I don't know what I'm supposed to be considering. Is it a novella? I need to know. Particularly the age group and genre. Is it adult fiction? Where do you see it fitting in genre? That kind of thing. It's an added bonus if you could add just a tiny one line about some personalization about why you specifically queried me. Anything works. Basically, if you heard of me on a blog or you met me at a conference, you saw something I mentioned on, hashtag manuscript wishlist, just one little carrot of how you found out about me is just great. That way I know that you kind of did your homework about me. I'll get queries sometimes from people who try to do that, but I think they left in the carrot from the last agent because they'll quote me on things I never said. They'll say, well, given your looking for speculative, high science fiction fantasy, here's my novel. And it's like, I never said that.
Right.
So just make sure you get it right, I guess. From there, to me, a query should clearly describe who your main character is, what their dilemma is that they've been thrown into, and what the stakes are. That's really the meat of the query. That's the hook. So be sure to show me that hook, what makes your story unique.
Yeah.
And of course, it does need to read like the back cover of a book, like the back cover blurb.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to tell me everything that happens. I get a lot of queries that try to do that, and that's not what you should be doing. You should just be giving us just enough to entice me to want to read the rest of the book, and don't tell me the ending.
Yes, don't do that.
Right, and then just end a query with a short bio, just with a little bit about yourself, but particularly your writing pursuits, publications, any accolades, or writing groups that you're part of. A lot of people try to tell me, they hear that and they think, well, I'm going to tell you all the jobs I've had, or I'm going to tell you how many cats I own, or, unless it's specific to the story, unless you're, for instance, writing a romance about a woman who, runs a cat sanctuary for stray cats or something, I don't need to know about your cats. I don't need to know, unless it is intrinsic to the story, I don't need to know about it. Yes. Those things are all very interesting, I suppose, but I glance right over those.
Okay.
To be honest.
And so you.
And the most important thing. Oh, I'm sorry. The most important thing about the query is the pages. For me, it all boils down to the pages. I can forgive a query that's a little out of format or not very polished. I usually will still skim the pages, but for me, it really boils down to the most sparkling pages you can send me.
I think that is all. Good advice, and the pages are the query has to be good enough to get you to want to read the pages, but the pages still need to be good on their own.
Right, exactly. It really, I like to say I reject on pages. I don't reject on the query. I know some agents will just read a query, and if the query doesn't grab them, they'll reject.
Yeah.
I usually still skim the pages because not everyone has a good skill set. Sometimes to sum up their book and write a good query, but maybe their pages are fantastic and it's a book I would love. So I usually still skim the pages.
Because querying is a different type of writing than writing a novel. I mean, it's very salesy. It is that back of the book, type of writing, which I struggle with. A query is like, I pull my hair out at them. So, I think that is, something to at least skim the pages is helpful. So you mentioned you like when you have the title, the genre, the word count, all of that at the beginning of the query. Because I know sometimes I feel like that's something that people go back and forth on what, agents really prefer. If you don't see it at the beginning, do you still just look for it, where you find it and then read the query?
I I'll read the query in the order you gave it to me. Yeah. But I really, really do prefer it to be in the beginning. Because again, it sets up my expectations of what I should be considering. Mm-hmm. If I read a query and it's interesting, sometimes people will send me what they think is a middle grade. This happens all the time. All too often, there seems to be some general misunderstanding of what the term middle grade means, believe it or not. So I'll get queries that say, this is middle grade literary. Well, actually, that's the genre they'll put on my query form. But they won't say what it is. And then I read the query, and there's not a child in the book. It's all adult. Mm.
That doesn't make sense.
It's like some life journey or whatever. And it's very obvious. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's quite obvious the person does not. I think they mean middle of the road literary. I'm not real sure.
Yeah.
But there is, believe it or not, this misunderstanding. But again, if I read this query, I might read this query and think it's supposed to be an adult novel. But it's really not. You really thought it was a middle grade. So it just sets up this whole thing. Just, I really do like it at the beginning to tell me, you know, what genre and age group.
Yeah, that makes sense. That is, you know, good to know. But also so you can kind of gauge, like, if that would happen if somebody said it was middle grade, but really it's an adult, you know, fiction. You could just know a little bit more about, you know, where they are and what they know about the industry and how things are categorized.
Exactly.
So my next question for you is, what is your number one query no-no?
Well, again, I don't reject on the query alone, so I don't really have a number one per se. You know, I will still read a query even if it doesn't follow that format I just outlined, but it will raise a red flag with me.
Yeah.
You know, it usually puts me on the alert that the author may not have fully done their homework. But I don't really have a number one query no-no. I mean, I guess the only thing I could say is that if you say anything disparaging or pretty or arrogant or self-deprecating, you know, if you're down on yourself already, that's not a good sign.
Yeah. That gives you pause.
Yeah, and pushy and arrogant doesn't work for me either. I have gotten those queries before.
Yeah. That's unfortunate to hear. I feel like that's something I hear from quite a few agents, is that the arrogant queries, like, you will, you know, regret it if you don't buy this book. It's like, oh no.
Exactly. Yes. Yep.
So,
I mean, you're not the kind of person I want to work with,
right,
to be honest.
That doesn't sound like a fun client to have.
Exactly. Right.
So let's talk about the pages then that, you know, you're really basing things off of. What things do you, in those first pages, will make you stop reading?
Things like head hopping. I really dislike head hopping.
Yeah.
Stories told from multiple points of view is fine. Head hopping is not. And
yeah.
If a writer doesn't know the difference, it tells me they haven't done their homework. Same thing with switching back and forth between tenses. You know, these are basic writing skills.
Right.
You'd have to know to maintain, you know, if you're writing in the present tense, you should be writing in the present tense. If you're writing in the past tense, you should be writing in the past tense. The other thing is flat or cardboard characters, too much exposition. I ask for 20 pages, and I do that by design. Because I like to see the way people, by the end of 20 pages, usually you've had to end a first chapter. So I like to see if those first chapters are ending on a hook, and if the next chapter is beginning, you know, if you're able to transition well into the next chapter and hook the reader again. So in those 20 pages, I'll tend to reject if I don't see the inciting incident in those 20 pages. By 20 pages, you should be showing me the inciting incident. Something has to have happened that's going to throw this character into whatever the story is. Confusing plots. You know, usually by 20 pages, I can tell if your plot is starting to get too convoluted. And that usually is happening lately in fantasy novels. just too much going on. Everything's thrown in but the kitchen sink. Too many characters. a fight that's going on, and yet you haven't grounded me in that world.
Yeah.
So it's, for instance, like a sword fight. It could be taking place anywhere from a desert to the deck of a ship to, you know, anywhere. So confusing plots, I would say, you know, would be pretty much a rejection for me. That and lacking in suspension of disbelief. Like if it's a paranormal or speculative novel, and by page 20, I'm already seeing the elements and they're really not hooking me and I'm not feeling the suspension of disbelief, I'll usually have to reject.
Those are all good things. And I think you started off with like head hopping and tenses, but then it does, you know, it could be anything from the basic writing skills to understanding how, you know, story works and how to what's the word I'm looking for? To structure chapters and scenes.
Yes, exactly. You know, some people get past the basics, but then they don't get past the bigger issues.
Yeah.
But all of it, to be perfectly honest with you, will make me stop reading.
That's good to know. Good things to think about for writers as they go through and you know, edit and things to look out for. Because that's always, you know, the hardest part is self-editing and taking a step back from your own story.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes by the end of 20 pages, I can tell that the book hasn't been put through its paces.
Yeah.
With critique partners, beta readers, that kind of thing. It usually shows through.
Yeah. And those, you know, I am so grateful for all of those people, beta readers, critique partners. They're, you know, crucial. And it's so nice just to have somebody with fresh eyes just give you a you know, basic overview of like, hey, here's what you need to look at and to focus
on. Right.
So on the flip side, not things that'll make you stop reading, but what is your favorite thing to see in a query or the first pages? What just gets you like so excited?
Well, in a query, a blurb, you know, I really do love a tightly written blurb, like a blurb so well written that I could easily picture it on the back cover of a book. Something that really has a great hook, and I can tell that it's a unique idea, not something that's derivative of something that's already out there.
Yeah.
Those things really do excite me. I like to see market comps. If someone's got market comps in a query, that really does tell me that the writer has done their homework. And especially if I can see where the market comps fit the blurb.
Yeah.
And I can say, yeah, I can see this. This is, you know, that could work. And I see that, you know, this kind of, you know, they've taken these two comps, but they've put their own special spin on it. So good formats of this are usually, you know, X meets Y, fans of XYZ, or, you know, author, you know, name the author, like Jenny Han, let's say, would enjoy this book, you know. So tell me, you know, fans of An Abundance of Catherine's and John Green would enjoy this book.
Yeah.
You know, something like that is a good comp style. Or it's just saying my book is similar in tone or theme to, you know, book ABC.
Yeah.
That helps me a bit. It just gives me something to latch onto, an immediate understanding of what you were going for or what you think you've produced. And as a bonus, like I said, it tells me you're familiar with the genre and you've done your homework. And you know what you're trying to sell me.
Yeah, and I think, too, comps can tell you a lot that an author's done their homework, especially if they're using something that's from 10 years ago or, like, a super huge, like, super popular, you know, Harry Potter or that type of novel. I think a lot of emphasis has been put on comps lately, which I think is great. I think it forces an author to, like, really evaluate their story and their style and figure out where they would fit in, which, you know, you got to start thinking in that business sort of way as you query and go into this process.
You absolutely do. And you have to be reading widely in your genre. You have to know the canon of what's out there. So that you know, if you fill the hole, if you've done something derivative, it's not going to work. Again, I hate to keep using fantasy as the example, but I read, it is my largest number of queries. It is just, I get so many middle grade and YA queries. It's off the charts. It's the largest genre that I take in, and that falls into my inbox. And the problem with many of them is that they all start to sound the same. And they're very, very, very derivative of books that are already out there. So that's not something I can sell. Yeah. And you need to be doing, you know, the writer needs to be doing something different. So part of that, though, the flip side of that is knowing what's already out there. So you should be able to come up with good comps. It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, and I think fantasy is something, you know, not harping on fantasy at all, but I think there's so much of it out there that it's kind of a hard one right now to to deal with.
Oh, yeah. Right. I was just using that as an example, though. I mean, like if you're talking YA mystery, I mean, I could pull out any genre. You should know what mysteries already exist in that age group.
Yeah. Because you should
be. So that you're sure you're doing something different.
Yeah. That you haven't written something that's exactly like something that just came out and is super popular right now.
Right. Or even too similar. Too similar doesn't work either. You know, it'll feel derivative.
Yeah. I think that is a good thing to think of. And I love that, you know, there's, because I feel like, and maybe it always was, but I feel like authors kind of, well, at least in my querying experience, I kind of was like, comps, whatever. I can't think about that right now when I've just, you know, beaten my brain to a pulp writing this query. But I think it is a really good thing to think about and figure out where your story would fit.
Right. Well, like I said, even if you can't identify two books, you can say, you know, my book is similar in tone to whatever, you know, One of Us is Lying, or it's similar in tone to All the Boys I've Loved Before,
yeah,
or whatever, you know, that's getting it close enough. Again, it just helps set me up for an expectation of what I'm going to be reading.
Yeah. And I, you know, you get a lot of queries. Like, I can't even imagine the amount of queries that you and pages you would have to read through. So anything that you, can help you just give you a little bit of an idea of what you're getting into is helpful, I'm sure.
Exactly.
So what would your tips or golden rules for authors be who are querying? And then, you know, would those tips look any different for maybe previously self-published authors? Because I feel like I see, you know, just in the writing community, some questions from people, how to handle being, you know, previously self-published.
Okay. So for me, the golden rules for querying are, first and foremost, a tight, well-written blurb with a great hook. Second, the strongest pages you can send along with that query.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, it's the pages I'm going to decide on. And make sure they're polished all the way through to the 20th page. And then once you send me the full, you have to make sure that the novel is polished all the way through to the very last page. You know, I see some queries that it's obvious the person submitted it to a lot of contests, maybe even finaled or won in those contests. I call them contest queens because then I noticed that, you know, by the 50th page or sometimes the 30th or 50th or 100th page, they didn't carry that polish all the way through to the end of the novel. And it's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, you have to give that level of detail and attention to your entire novel. You know, great stories or story ideas or premises are a dime a dozen. So it's the execution of that story idea that matters. And that's what I'm looking for in the pages, is great execution. So I think what many writers do wrong in sending off a query is like sending off a query for a book too soon before it's really ready.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't learned enough about their craft. They don't know what books are selling in their genre today. And they haven't put it through the paces, like I said, with critique partners, beta readers. Like, if I'm the first eyes besides the author that are seeing the book,
that's not good.
Usually a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to put the book through its paces. So those would be my golden rules. Now, for self-published authors, I'm open to offer authors who have previously been self-published. However, you need to be querying me with a new project, not something that's already out there in the marketplace, and not a book that's, for instance, number three in a series. Yeah. Like you self-published the first two, and the book you're sending me is book number three in that same series. Same thing. I can't do anything with it. There won't be a publisher I can take that to.
Yeah.
Basically, if it was a self-published book that did phenomenal and was going like gangbusters, they would already know about it.
Right. That's good to know. I think, I have a lot of self-published friends, and I see that on the Twitter world sometimes of them asking, what the best way to handle it is. Do you think they should talk about their previously self-published books somewhere, at the end of the query in their little introduction about themselves, or if it's a new project, just treat it, obviously it would be standalone from what they've already self-published, so is it not even worth mentioning?
It's worth mentioning because it tells me that perhaps they've learned a bit, hopefully, a little bit about marketing. Hopefully they've got their social media account set up. I mean, it's not going to sway me one way or the other. Okay. As far as the decision I make, I have to make a decision on that new project,
right,
on that manuscript that they're querying me. So I definitely don't hold it against them, nor do I, maybe perhaps I see it as a little bit of a bonus, a little bit, because it tells me also that the book they're showing me is not the first one they've written.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It shows me that they've been writing for a while usually, and that's fine too. That's all good. So it's not like, I definitely don't see it as a negative.
Okay.
Like I said, the only way I see it as a negative is if you're trying to push me a book that has been already self-published.
Right.
But self-published authors are fine.
Perfect. Good.
I don't mind them at all.
That's good feedback. So what else do you look for in an author? You've read the query, you've read the pages, you've read the full, you get on that call with them. And what are you looking for, for your client for you guys really to have the best relationship?
Well, the most important thing for me, of course, is the book. That's number one. The book has to be fabulous. I have to absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Not put downable. I need a book that's where I pretty much burned dinner because I kept reading it. After that, I am going to look to the author themselves. I am going to get on that call, and I'm going to ask you questions about, do you see this as a career? Do you have other ideas you're working on, other manuscripts partially started or in the works, or just ideas even down on paper?
Yeah.
I'm not looking for a one-trick pony. I'm looking for authors who want a career. So I'm going to also talk to that author about their openness to revisions, guidance, and suggestions. Do they seem like they would be an author who is open to that kind of thing? And because you'd be surprised, not everyone is.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask them, what are the goals for your career? Almost kind of like, where do you see yourself in 5 years, or where would you want to be? Whether or not they're willing to promote themselves in their books. I've actually had discussions with authors and they're like, well, I really don't leave my house. So school visits are out, and I really don't like social media, so I won't do that either.
Right.
That might be a bit of a red flag, because you're going to have to do some promotion for your books. And if you don't realize that at this day and age in the industry, that could be a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
So I am going to ask, the author, are you willing to promote yourselves in your books? What other ideas, like I said, they have in the hopper? And pretty much that's it. I'm just looking to gauge if they're an author I think they'd be easy to work with.
I think I've heard other agents kind of describe it as like a little bit of like a job interview both ways. Like, you're interviewing the author and the author should be interviewing you a little bit, to see if you guys are a good fit. But I think it's really the point where your writing your story has become a very personal journey as you go through it, and then you're getting moving it into a very business, you know, a different business type of setting and the way you have to think about it. So I love that you mentioned that not everybody's open to revisions, because I think that's something that takes a while, and you have to be at a certain stage in your process right. to be open to. But, you know, I think that preparing for all of this as you go into the querying process and is good to know what, you know, mindset you need to be in.
Right, exactly.
Well, perfect. I love hearing, you know, just what you're looking for. And further on that vein, will you tell us what are your, like, top things on your manuscript wish list right now?
Okay, well, in the adult space, I definitely am looking to see more romantic suspense. Not really getting a whole lot of that in my inbox for some reason. Also, rom-coms, yes. Romantic comedies, mm-hmm. And contemporary romance. But especially friends to lovers. I'm kind of on a kick right now with, you know, looking for the friends to lovers trope. And slow burn. I really do like a slow burn romance. I'd also love to find a richly layered historical mystery, Ooh. Adult historical mystery, in the vein of The 13th Tale or Shutter Island. Something really atmospheric, you know, give me creepy. Or just a mystery set in the Gilded Age. It's one of my favorite time periods, so I'm looking for something there. In the children's sphere, fiction sphere, I'm looking for more picture books about dogs and animals, but something that hasn't been done. Make it a little special, a little unique. In middle grade, I'm looking for paranormal and adventure. Kind of like I said, I'm getting plenty of fantasy.
So no fantasy.
Middle grade and YA. So I'm not even going to ask for it. I just know I'm going to keep getting it.
Oh, yeah.
But also in middle grade or YA, something with a good sci-fi angle that hasn't been done. Something like Super 8, Stranger Things, yeah. that type of thing. Mysteries, I'm always open to paranormal and speculative. So give me the weird, the gothic, creepy, the ghosts, all of that kind of good stuff.
I love it. That all sounds wonderful. I want somebody to send you like the slowest burn friends to lovers romance in adult. Wouldn't that be the best? Like a really slow burn friends to lovers. That's my favorite.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, awesome. I love knowing what's on your manuscript wish list, and hopefully the, you know, authors listening have some good stuff that you're looking for that's, you know, holding back on the fantasy, so we get other weird creepy stuff going on, and you'll get that in your inbox. My last question for you is always my favorite, because, you know, we're all lovers of books, and so I love to know what other people are reading, but I would love to know what your favorite book is right now. This is not your favorite book of all time by any means,
right.
just a book you've read recently that really stuck with you.
Okay, well, I don't get much time actually to read for pleasure, but when I can, I've currently been sneaking in a few minutes here and there to read The Widow of Rose House by Diana Biller. And then I'm also kind of reading Wilder Girls by Rory Power.
I've heard lots of good things about Wilder Girls.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything because I feel like it's the kind of book where I went into it with no expectations about what it was about. I had heard that it was good, but I didn't really know what the premise was. And so it's been delicious because of that.
Oh, good. Well, I won't make you say anything about it, because I think that's the best way to experience something is just to be like, oh, this, I've heard good things about it. Pick it up and experience it.
Exactly. Like, I can't stand when you hear too much about a movie before you go.
Yes. Oh, that's the worst. Why even see it?
Yeah. Right, exactly. I just want to see it and experience it.
Thank you so much for chatting with me today and giving the writers who listen some really good, you know, perspective and information about querying and the publishing process.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you learned something from Marlo. I love the literary agent interviews. I think we just get so much like behind the scenes info, and it really, I don't know, really helps me. So I hope it helps you guys. Please make sure to rate and review and share this podcast wherever you are on the internet. And make sure to connect with me at Rose Quinney, Quinny. Thanks, guys.